17 and 11, 1 and 3 in the second leg, 6, 5, 9 in the third leg, and 8, 2, 7 and 6 in that last leg. So wide in the first leg and wide in those last legs because they're pretty tricky races, Simon.
Good on you, Gaz. We'll take your thoughts and those at Priscilla's as well throughout the mounting yard, or throughout the afternoon from the mounting yard, and enjoy the afternoon at Ballina.
Will do. Thanks, mate.
There he is, Gary Cleese here. We'll take a quick break at 10:30, and then Fred Hastings will join me with this morning's edition of Chasing, Pacing Rewind. We'll have Chasing Rewind at 10:45.
Sky Sports Radio is all over the best harness racing in New South Wales and Australia. Tuesdays, Greg Hayes brings you the latest news and talks with the key players. On the Pace, Tuesday mornings at 10:30. Here on Sky Sports Radio.
If you download a radio app, you could listen anywhere. Even at your cousin's wedding. I mean, you can catch the game right there. At work, no one would notice that you're listening to that show until it makes you LOL and sing the hits you know. If you download a radio app, you could listen while in bed. You'd never hear another snore and drift off to jazz instead. So download it at the App Store or at Google Play, and 250 Aussie stations will be just one swipe away. Radio app. Your radio, wherever you are.
Sutton City is now the home of Sydney's newest Mitsubishi dealership. Shop the entire range of Mitsubishi vehicles at Sutton City. And this month, Mitsubishi is in run out. So if you're in the market for a Mitsubishi, we have ripper deals with free fuel cards and 1.9% finance on selected models. We have plenty of on-site parking, and you'll find Sutton City on Link Road, Bentland, just off Southern Cross Drive. So come on down and meet the team at Sutton City Mitsubishi. SuttonCityMitsubishi.com.au. Conditions apply. ND14314.
Sunday morning at 10:30, catch Pacing Rewind on Sky Sports Radio.
And Fred Hastings joins me now to chat about harness racing. Freddie, good morning.
G'day, Simon. How you doing?
Yeah, not too bad. You're excited for the grand final, no doubt?
Oh, look, I don't think I've slept. I thought if I stay awake, it means it'll come around quicker. No, look, it's going to be a great game. Win, lose, or draw. Happy the Roosters are there. It's always a lot. You know, a better feeling watching your team play in a grand final than watching a game that you have no interest in. So,
yeah,
the chookies, and hopefully they'll bring it home for Sydney.
Yeah, I hope so. Now, how's the world been in harness racing this last week?
Yeah, well, let's just focus on last night, Simon. We saw some terrific individual performances, and I guess to kick it off, Jack Traynor drove Outrageous Sell a Treat, and that notched up his 299th winner, so he's bearing down on 300 career wins, Jack Traynor. Todd McCarthy, he had a double. He drove Rich Virgin in the last. And earlier in the night, he drove Love and Miss Daisy for Mark Callaghan. Now, our good mate Greg Hayes, he loves a stat, and I'm pinching these stats from Greg. He tweeted last night that in the last 2 months at Menangle and Newcastle, Callaghan and McCarthy Todd, they've combined for 20 starters for 10 wins and 6 placings. A real lethal combination, and proving to be a great partnership, Simon. Speaking of great partnerships, Joe and Mary Rando, they quinellaed the Trotters race with Mighty Sunny and Sunset Tour, so they've had a good night at the office, Joe and Mary. They were the first training partnership to be licensed in New South Wales when partnerships were brought into play, so well done to Joe and Mary. Amanda Turnbull, she trained and drove a double, Executive Dash and Ain't No Better, and that pair notched up their hat-tricks by winning their races last night in successive races. Speaking of things in threes, Craig Cross landed a treble, and Luke McCarthy, well, he had a good night at the office too. He drove McDoro in the Group 3 Les Chan Cup.
It's the Tiger in front. Tiger Tara, half length clear on Franco Nelson. McDoro next on the outside. Major Reality, Power of Red, down under stride. I'm a Mystery Girl. They were followed well back. Pasha Cootie, Village, which starts a long run to the outside, and last is Star Rider as they straighten up. 26-9, the quarter of the leader, Tiger Tara. He goes for it. Franco Nelson looms large. McDoro goes back to the pegs to try and get up on the inside to blouse them, and then came Major Reality. McDoro, Franco Nelson, Tiger Tara, a three-way thriller, Late Village Witch. McDoro goes up on the inside, hits the lead, McDoro! McDoro's beaten either Tiger Tara or Village Witch off the track. For fourth, we had Franco Nelson.
So, McDoro there, Freddie, winning the Les Chant Cup last night from Tiger Tara and Village Witch. And driver Luke McCarthy joins us now. Luke, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, guys.
Luke, congratulations. It's always nice to win those cup races at Menangle, and Mac Doro, second up, proved too good for them getting the shortcut. He's got that great asset at the start, Luke, that gate speed where I guess you get to put him where you want in the early stages.
Yeah, he does, Freddie. That, you know, that gate speed, just he can sort of always put himself in a handy position, and you know, and if you're lucky enough that you can sort of follow Franco Nelson or Tiger Tara or Power of Red, one of the sort of horses that, you know, generally would hold the front, he's always going to generally be behind the leader or be in a good position.
I thought a feature last night, Luke, he relaxed pretty quickly in the run.
Yeah, he's good like that, Freddie. You can buzz him off the gate, and as soon as he gets the helmet, he drops a bit and, you know, will relax. So he's probably all of his best form has been over the mile. But, you know, he did throw in a couple of good runs. He only was racing the Crystal Bahia over the 2300, and then he'd come out last night and run a good race over the longer trip. So at least he's a bit more versatile nowadays.
Well, I guess, you know, you look at his record, he's placed in two Len Smith miles at the elite level. That's a pretty good scorecard for him, and of course placed, as you said, in the Bohemia Crystal. So there's got to be a little bit of confidence with him over some ground in a race like the Victoria Cup.
Yeah, for sure, Freddie. He's always probably just been that step below the absolute top ones, but he had a spell again after the Len Smith mile, and you know, hopefully he's come back a little bit stronger again this campaign and even a bit more season. So, you know, he'll have a crack at a fair few of them good races this year. And with a bit of luck and the right draw, he's one of the horses that, you know, can probably pick up one of the good ones throughout the year.
What about the Interdom? I mean, that's the series, you know, three runs, you know, leading into a final within a couple of weeks. That's not necessarily been his go. He, going back through his record, he seems to run best when his runs are spaced, albeit last night, second up, he's had the two runs week to week and he's been able to come out and win. But is he a better horse with a bit of space, Luke?
Well, he sort of has been, Freddie. He's not like a thoroughbred. He's very athletic and, you know, he doesn't need a lot of work, but he... you know, maybe he sort of has seasoned up a bit more now, and, you know, as we know, the standard boots can handle a bit of work, and Don Martello, his owner from Melbourne, he's really keen to have him in the series, and, you know, he'll pay up for it, and hopefully if he's still in good form at the time, you know, he'll have a good crack at it.
And I suppose the fact that he's got that tactical speed when needed, that'll certainly, you know, aid and abet his chances around Melton, where traditionally it hasn't been a happy hunting ground for him, Melton, again, going back through his record.
Yeah, look, he's done a lot of his juvenile races in Victoria, and then he only had the one run for us at, in the big company Gallup, but, to, you know, you got to put a pen through that. But anyway, well, his next start will be the Victorian Cup, and hopefully he can come up with a good draw.
Right. The other winner you drove last night replaced Dye. He looks like a real nice little horse that's going to work his way through his grades.
Yeah, he's a nice horse, Freddie. Glenn Wilmot done a really good job with him down at Young, and he sent him up, you know, to sort of thought he'd be city class, and he ran a really good second last week to better match in 150. So he put the writing on the wall there last Tuesday week ago, and, you know, come out last night and run a good race. So he should work through the grades.
And get down towards that higher level racing Saturday nights.
Yep.
And what about Cobbity Equine, of course? It must be a very busy time, the springtime. Tell us a bit about your working day. It must be flat out.
Yeah, it's good, Freddie. The stallions are getting collected, you know, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 3 days a week, bringing it on for a reason, and they've been really well supported so far. And, you know, it's had a great year last year with numbers, so hopefully they get a good book again this year. And, you know, the four reasons are already proven. They've come out and going well, and I'm sure Bling On will make a good stallion. So, yeah, it's busy time of year, but it's going really good.
And we talked a few months back, and we discussed the fact that, you know, Cobbity Equine isn't just standard breds. You work and pre-train a lot of thoroughbreds. You're busy with them at the moment, or has that sort of, you know, died off a bit?
Oh, there's always a few here, Freddie. It's, it's, you know, they go in the water walker and out in the paddocks, and we're not interested in training any of them as such as racehorses, but just to have them here and spelling and pre-training you know, out in the farm environment, seems to be really good for him. So no, it's all going well.
And what about on a personal note, Luke? I mean, we had a discussion a little while back on air about, you know, the possibility of you getting involved in thoroughbreds. Is that still on the back burner? Is that something in the back of your mind that you might look at down track?
One day, Freddie. I really love the thoroughbreds and follow it very closely. You know, but we're pretty busy with the harness racing and really enjoying it. So, look, one day I would, but, you know, it's so hard, the thoroughbred game too, like with the top-end stables as well. But, yeah, I wouldn't say I would get into it just for a bit of a hobby.
No, that's good to know. All right, Luke, well, you've been a fixture in the top 10 drivers' list for the last several seasons, and you've got off to a good start with a few nice wins in recent weeks. Good luck for the rest of the season. Good luck with your trip to Victoria. I think you're taking a horse that might just fly under the radar a little bit. He's, like you said, maybe just a tiny rung below the top echelon, but has acquitted himself well in Group 1 races over the last 12 months.
Yeah, no, hopefully with the right draw, Freddie, he'll be right there.
Good on you, Luke. Thanks for giving up some time this morning and chatting to us on Pacing Rewind.
Thanks, Freddie.
There he is, Simon, Luke McCarthy, and yeah, he's got a nice horse there, MacDora, but and as I said, Craig Cross trained three last night, and I think Replaced Eye is certainly a horse to follow in coming weeks.
Now, what else is happening, Freddie, in the world of harness racing?
Simon, of course, the time-honoured, it's becoming time-honoured because it's been running for several years now, the Carnival of Cups. They kick off in New South Wales tomorrow at Eugowra. They've got the big Canola Cup, an eight-race card. Now, the feature is the Group 3 $30,000 Canola Cup, and this is a really terrific lineup here, some real form in the race. It's a CO event, and as I said, it's the first Carnival of Cups race for the 18-19 season. And a voice that'll be covering the action, certainly no stranger to those who follow harness racing permanently, but those that followed it in the early days in New South Wales would have been tuned in to Mark McNamara. Mark, of course, is the leading thoroughbred and harness caller in the South Island of New Zealand, and Mark, by invitation, has come across, as he does, and calls the Canola Cup. So it'll be good to have Mark back on Aussie soil. I know he does the Orange meeting at Towak Park on the grass as well. But Mark, I guess fair to say, I mean, he was always a prodigious talent, Simon, but he really became the voice of the Carnival of Cups concept when it kicked off. He and Greg Hayes, they were dubbed the Dream Team. But Mark certainly loves his harness racing in the west of New South Wales, and he'll be covering the action tomorrow. So he's, I guess, revisiting his roots where he really rose to prominence in harness racing in New South Wales, and is coming back to cover that meeting tomorrow. So it'll be good to hear, Mark. Great race. The first race there, I think for memory, was 20 after 12. Of course, no racing in New South Wales harness today, but it's all eyes on Eugowra tomorrow, Simon.
He was the voice of the Wednesday nights at Bathurst for many years, Mark, wasn't he? And Saturday nights at Newcastle?
Yeah, well that's right. Well, Mark, I guess, plied his trade as the understudy to Kevin Thompson, and so whilst Kevin covered the major meetings of the week at Penrith and Menangle and Harold Park, as it was then, as the main track, Mark covered race meetings at Newcastle. He covered them at Bathurst and other venues, but at the time Mark was also doing a bit of studio work. He was an everywhere man, but opportunity arose in New Zealand, and I think the story goes he'd always harboured a desire to call a New Zealand Trotting Cup. Well, he's done plenty of them now. I think he's coming up to his 10th. So he's certainly lived that dream and called some of the greats over there in New Zealand, but also does the thoroughbreds as well. I mean, I think he's an outstanding race commentator personally, Mark, and he's, but he was the Bathurst Wednesday nights, and the Newcastle on the Saturday nights was his permanent gig, I guess, fair to say, but he always did the Carnival of Cups meetings as well.
And I think in recent years he's dabbled with a bit of horse brokering as well.
Yeah, look, he does. He's bred some horses as well. He's passionate about it, that's for sure and certain. So he's got his fingers in a few pies, but it'll be good to have him, I guess fair to say, on home soil. he's, the Kiwis might think he's one of them, but he's still one of us. He's still still Aussie, so good to have him home calling at the Canola Cup meeting, mate.
And have we had any Lazarus news from America? Do we know where he's going next?
Well, just that he was, of course, an emergency for the race that was run on Friday. The feeling is he could be heading to the Red Mile, but that's to be confirmed. But he's all right, Lazarus. He won last time out, so he's got a bit of winning form behind him, and another sub 150 mile. Thing is with Lazarus, I always said it, and I remember having a conversation with you leading into Dominion last year, Simon. As good a sprinter as good as he can run these sub 150s, I think he's. Talent, his superiority as a stayer was a real talent, and unfortunately he's not getting that type of racing over there. But he's been purchased for a reason over there, and they'll race him and then obviously stand him. So it'll be a commercial move. The fact he's got sub 150s in the north hemisphere and the southern hemisphere augurs well for his long term future at stud.
Good on you, Freddie. Well, enjoy the footy tonight, and this time next week you'll be dining in a 5-million-star restaurant.
Well, I'm off to Uluru, so I'm taking a bit of time off, so going off to look at the rock and experience some of the stuff in the west. So Red Centre. So
the best thing out there is the stars, Freddie.
Yeah, well, they have a restaurant experience where you sit in the middle of the desert looking up at the stars, and they reckon that they look that close, you could almost reach them. So looking forward to that, mate. We're going to try some crocodile and bush tucker and give a few things a go. So, yeah.
Good stuff, Freddie. We'll enjoy the next couple of weeks off, and we'll catch you when you get back.
Good on you, Simon.
Fred Hastings there. Now, it's 13 minutes to 11. In just a moment, Tim Newbold will join me and give us the wrap from Greyhound Racing last night at Wentworth Park.
Racing in the Cup.
Come with Sky Sports Radio on a trip to Port Macquarie this Friday. It's Port's Cup meeting, carrying showcase prize money.
Loving Home has won the Cup.
Don't miss all the tips. Race morning at 10 here on Sky Sports Radio.
Dynamic Syndications, Gay and Adrian have a high-quality filly to own and race with Newgate Farm. She's by Deep Field, Northern Media's record-breaking speed sire, now Boom First Crop sire. From Princess Marisa, a stakes winner with 5 wins and stakes performed 9 times. And her first, second and third dams are all stakes winners. Join our Dynamic, Gay, Adrian and Newgate team in this fabulous filly. Visit DynamicSyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3360808.
G'day, Laurie Daly here. Ever wanted to know what's going on in an NRL player's head? Well, now the Tab app gives you exclusive tips, insights and analysis this NRL season, thanks to new NRL previews featuring myself. So get ahead of the game every game this footy season.
Download the Tab app and access new NRL previews today. Tab, we love a bet. Tab previews available for account holders only. Gamble responsibly.
Most exciting 2 minutes in sports.
The very best of U.S. racing 7 days a week.
Looking at Lee, can't catch, always dreaming, who's the 143rd winner of the Kentucky Derby.
Live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
The stars shine daily in Greyhound Racing. And you get the latest here on Sky Sports Radio. Your racing and sports leader.
So we'll take a look at Greyhound Racing now with Chasing Rewind. Michael Cowley will join us in about 5 minutes, and we'll have a look at what's been happening with the million-dollar chase heats over the last few days. But first of all, Tim Newbold has a wrap of the action from Wentworth Park last night. Tim, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. We had a tremendous night of racing at Wentworth Park last night. Another 5 city qualifiers of the million-dollar chase highlight of the race card. And as we saw last Saturday night, the Victorians came and conquered again. They have won each of the 5 heats conducted in the city on consecutive Saturday nights at Wentworth Park. And with another 4 heats to be run Next Saturday, I'm sure we'll see more Victorians come up to the Harbour City to try and win their way or place their way into the semi-finals of the Million Dollar Chase on Friday, October 12. Now, heat number one last night was won by the Despacito, who was trained by Shona Thompson in 29.86. He drove hard through the first turn to hold the lead, and he just pinched a break down the back straight and just kept on edging away, and he was too strong at the end. He ran 29.86, and I'm sure he'll be improved by that run of the track. He was debuting at Whitworth Park last Saturday night. Last night, I should say, so he will be improved by the run. He defeated Morris Minor, the Queenslander. He was really good. He was gallant when he finished second, and third in Lagoon Pirate for Sharon and Warry Webster. He's a pacey type, and he goes through to the semi-finals on Friday, October 12. Now, heat number two was won in great style by Poke the Bear. He was probably the most impressive winner of the evening, 29.51, a double for Shona Thompson. He defeated Bucks Future, who grabbed second right on the wire ahead of Sky Wave, and that trio all go through to the semi-finals. Poke the Bear has won 26 races in his career. That was just his second run at Whitworth Park. He went straight to the lead, and he gave nothing else a chance. It was just a dominant performance, and clearly the best run of all the heats run last night, Poke the Bear. He's going to be a real force come semi-final time. Now over to race number three on the program, Eamon Bale, the roughie for the Davey team. Won in 30.02. He defeated the Golden Easter Egg champ, Uphill Jill, who I think on face value, she was disappointing. She led from box number eight. She had a comfortable lead mid-race, and she was just reeled in over the latter stages. The time she ran in finishing second was well below her best, so I think she might need to lift come semi-final time if she is going to get into the big final. Third in that race was Mpunga Bella for Jeff Britton. A tidy performance, and she'll be improved by that run because that was her first run here at Wentworth Park. Now, race number seven on the program last night was heat number four. And the Daly team struck again. Dinah Zesty went straight to the lead, and she just ran her rivals into the ground in 29.97, defeating Nangar Cash for Mick Harbin, a New South Wales greyhound and trainer. Now, that greyhound does go through to the semi-final stage. And Reader's Boy, who is trained by Mark Gatt here in New South Wales, he was really solid when he finished third, so he goes into the semis as well. His effort was quite tidy from the inside draw. The final heat last night was won in great fashion by My Redeemer for Dave and Rose Gill. This greyhound, he's been one of the most promising greyhounds in the country for some time, and he probably hit a bit of a lull in recent times, but he was back to his brilliant best last night. He ran 29.67, reeling in the national sprint champion West Onorgie, trained by Robert Britton. He led, and he was just caught in the final stages by My Redeemer, and third in that race. It was a tidy performance for third by Sunburn Highway, who's trained here in New South Wales by Judy Richardson. So that was a really strong heat, but My Redeemer, he just loves racing here at Whitworth Park. He's won four out of six now, and it was just outside his PB, taking out last night's final heat of the Million Dollar Chase. Other notable performances on the evening, Miss Splendor Miro, who's already qualified for the semi-finals of the chase. She won the free-for-all running 29.52. And Cahale Road won the 720-metre race in 42.03. That was a really competitive race, defeating Taken King and Rockstar Patriot, who was a close-up third. That was in the Dave Carlson appreciation over the 720 metres. Cahale Road, he's no doubt heading toward the bigger races over the longer journeys in the not-too-distant future. That's our wrap of Wentworth Park last night. It was a great night with the five heats of the Million Dollar Chase. We're looking forward to more next Saturday night. Well, I'm sure, as I said earlier, I'm sure we'll see the Victorians come up again and try and take the final four qualifying heats.
They've been going well, haven't they? Thank you very much, Tim. And now from Greyhound Racing New South Wales, Mick Cowley is on the line. Mick, good morning to you.
Hello, Simon. How are you, mate?
Oh, very well, thanks. And good to have you on this morning's edition of Chasing Rewind. You've been no doubt following these heats very closely. And, well, Tim's just touched on Wentworth Park last night. But on Friday, we had a couple of heats from not only the Gardens and Richmond. And I thought we might just have a look at these. First of all, we'll talk about the Gardens. And let's take in the replay of Elusive Waves win on Friday from the Gardens.
Off and running, nice break, bouncing out in front of Lucy Wade, led at the Judge the first time by two lengths. Moving into second place there was Cohen's Dream across from the outside, True Tanner. They were fodded further back on the inside there by the Drink Schooners, and then came over on the outside of those runners there by Margot Penny, and driving to the Taylor Field, dashing pace as they travel up towards the Turner. Lucy Wade put a gap in them. It race cleared, True Tanner to second, Aston Duke runs home, but it's all a Lucy Wade. Bolts in second place, True Tanner getting up to run third, Drink Schooners, Aston Dugan.
Elusive Wave for Vic Sultana there, defeating True Talent and Drink Schooners. And Mick, the favourite, Aston Duke, only managed fourth, which was the equal favourite with Drink Schooners. Was that one of the big surprises from the race?
It was, Simon. Everyone was expecting it to be a bit of a match race between Drink Schooners and Aston Duke. But once Elusive Wave stepped away, that was the end of the section. People kind of forget that back on Black Top Night at the Gardens, Elusive Wave did win the consolation and ran 29.3 that night, which would have been quick enough to win the Group 2 race. So once she did step in front, that was kind of the end of the section. And it's good for the Sultanas too. Yeah, Darren and Vic, that was third time lucky. They both each had a finalist in regional events of the Million Dollar Chase. Vic had Skywave in the first one at Bathurst, and Darren had Zipping Ella at Maitland. Unfortunately, both of those missed out, but third time lucky with Elusive Wave at the Gardens. And then, of course, Skywave, as Tim mentioned a bit earlier, did make it through from Wentworth Park last night. So the Sultanas have got a couple in the semi-finals on October 12th, so should be good for them. And, of course, True Talent, Jason McKay's dog, another finalist, another semi-finalist in a big race for Jason. He's doing well. A little bit of a surprise, as you said, but that's what this series has thrown up. We've got 52 of the 64 semi-finalists already decided now, and October 12th looking like a huge night, a huge Friday night at Wentworth Park. The series has captured the imagination of all at this stage. And as you mentioned, Simon, we did have the two events on that night. We also had Richmond. Richmond, of course, was the final of the 11 regional finals around New South Wales. And let's have a listen to the Richmond final to see how that panned out.
Racing, Zipping Bailey walked out, and Big Butters came out like a torpedo, straight to the lead by three. Ava, Awesome Catch, Zipping Bailey the inside making ground, then Miss Wing Wong, Jamella Jet. They'll follow it up by Zipping Falcon, Rockstar Carl and Bimini can see them all midway down the back. Big Butters by two over Zipping Bailey. What's she going to do? Will she go the rails or hook to the outer? Two away to Awesome Catch. They swing the leader, Big Butters, Zipping Bailey to the outside. The leader is Big Butters. Zipping Bailey can't get it. Big Butters. Big Butters too good for Zipping Bailey. Awesome Catch in third position. Fourth, maybe Zipping Falcon.
That was Big Butters, regional final from Richmond on Friday there. Mick for Andrew Couch defeating Zipping Bailey and Awesome Catch. And the other favoured runner that was well in the market outside the top four there, which was the kennel mate, Jamella Jett.
Yeah, unfortunately, Jamella Jett had a fantastic heat the week before and absolutely flown. But the kennel were very confident of Big Butters. They've kept her fresh. She is a stayer, but she sprints very well at Richmond. She's actually won four out of four over that trip. And they were reasonably confident. Once she stepped away, it's going to be hard to run down a stayer, and that proved to be the case. Zipping Bailey did get on the back of her, but just couldn't get past her. She's a very, very handy type, and has Wentworth Park form as well, so anything's possible. And, of course, fantastic story for father and son, Andrew and Adam Crouch. Andrew Crouch probably would have been on Freddie's show a few years ago. He used to be a harness racing trainer and driver, but switched over with his son, and they're having a lot of success in the greyhounds at the moment, Simon.
I thought I recognised that name. Yes, harness. That was definitely a harness name, wasn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. He drove a few good horses and trained a few as well, but decided, yeah, his son wanted to get involved in greyhounds, and Andrew thought, you know, now's a good time for a break. He's getting a bit stale. So they came across and started training greyhounds. And as I said, they've had some great success. And obviously now they've got a semi-finalist in the world's richest greyhound race.
And it's the whole concept. I mean, it's very new, isn't it? It wasn't that long ago that it was announced. It's creeping up on us quickly. What are we, 3 weeks from last night?
it's not far away now. It is creeping up, and you know, there's lots of work to be done, but it's starting to gain a bit of momentum as well, Simon, which is the good thing. And basically, a bit of an exclusive for your listeners here, okay, I can let you know that entertainment has been locked in for the night. We've got the Potbellies performing.
Ah.
I'm sure you're a big fan, Simon.
Yeah, the Potbellies. I can't say I know their music too well.
Well, you'll have to come along on October 20, Simon, and anyone who wants to, tickets are on sale at the moment. You can go to our website, www.milliondollarchase.com.au/tickets, and $20 a ticket. It's certainly good value.